Well, after the terrible fall of man, his miserable lost condition, his original sin, right? Guilt, corruption, total depravity, sinful nature, actual sins from that sinful root, and his complete inability to do anything about it, to do any saving good, the Belgic Confession reveals the remedy, and it's only God. It's only God, and it's God's God who does it. It's his election. Begins with his election. Article 16 addresses the doctrine of election. Article 17, his redemption. The teaching, election is the teaching that God, by his own free and sovereign will, in eternity past, before the world was made, before men existed, God chose, selected, elected, predestined, foreknew some people unto eternal salvation, and some, therefore, he did not. Election, though perhaps the most disliked doctrine and fought against even by so-called Christians, as Jason was sharing with us this morning, is abundantly and clearly taught in Scripture. Jesus said in John 15:16, "You did not choose me, but I chose you. I endure all things for the sake of the elect," Paul says, 2 Timothy 2:10. In 1 Peter 1:1, verse 2, "To the elect of God, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father." In John 15:9, "I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." 2 Thessalonians 2:13, "God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation." Ephesians 1:4, "He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world." 1 Corinthians 1:27, "God has chosen, God has chosen, God has chosen." Election is abundantly and clearly taught in Scripture. It ought to be a comfort to every disciple of Christ, and it ought to be accepted. Romans 9 is the atomic bomb of the doctrine of election. Okay, this is the fat man nuclear bomb, okay, of the Bible, laying waste to the city of man's pride. In this chapter, he has indicated some very amazing things about election. And we're going to have to go quick here. Number one, election is God's sovereign plan. Election is part of God's sovereign, unalterable plan. Paul is answering the problem of the apostasy of Israel. It was thought when Messiah came that all Israel would believe, only a remnant believed. Why was that? Paul's answer is, it is really only those elect unto salvation who could believe. And that was part of God's sovereign plan. God elected some within Israel to salvation as part of His sovereign, eternal plan and purpose. And that is evident since Isaac was promised and saved, but not his brother, Ishmael, right? Chapter 9, verse 7. The people of Israel would probably deny that. And they would say something like, well, that's because Ishmael was born of Hagar, right? Ishmael was born of Hagar, Isaac of Sarah, that's why. But they can't do that with Rebekah, or one woman, and one man, Isaac, and one birth, and two sons, right? One birth. Two sons, twins. Yet, and here is the lesson, God chose Jacob. Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. He chose Jacob and not Esau. All things being equal, God's choice was the only difference. See? And it wasn't because Jacob was better, right? Who, knowing the story of Jacob and Esau, would say that, right? But the text says before they had done any good or bad, just so you know, before they had done any good or bad, before they were born, it was God's choice, see? Don't think it was because Jacob had done something a little better than Esau. Romans 9:11 says, "For the children," that is Jacob and Esau, "for the children not yet being born, nor having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him who calls, it was said to her, the older shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. He chose Jacob. He chose the younger when normally the birthright would go to the older. It was that the purpose of God's election would come about. See? Jacob then was given the birthright, and that was because of God's sovereign, unalterable plan. He was chosen for it. God made sure of it. In choosing Jacob, God was sovereignly working to assure his purpose came about just as he planned it. And Jacob is a pattern of all the elect unto eternal salvation. That means God does the choosing, not man. God is sovereign in it. It's the fulfilling of his sovereign plan and purpose. Election is the sovereign plan of God. Secondly, election is unconditional. It's unconditional. For though the children not yet being born, nor having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him who calls. They had done nothing good or evil. It wasn't based on their works. Jacob was chosen before he was even born, before he had done anything good or evil. See, God wanted it to be abundantly clear that his election is not based on merit. It's not based on human achievement. Election is not based on birthright. It was God's free will. It was God's free sovereign choice before they were born or had done anything good or bad. Ephesians says something very similar. It says in Ephesians 1:4, just as he chose us in him, that means in Christ, God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. You see, the point is, if it's before the foundation of the world, you didn't exist yet. You didn't exist yet. You couldn't have done anything to deserve this. God didn't choose you because he saw some works in you. It says, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that is the purpose that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, in Ephesians 1:4 rather. See, he didn't choose you because you were holy. He chose you to make you holy. In other words, God didn't choose you because you deserve it or you met some condition. Election is unconditional. You didn't. You didn't work and you couldn't. The point of Jacob, before he had been born, before he could do any good or bad, that's the point. God's choice is unconditional. You know, that's really the amazing thing of grace, the amazing thing of the gospel, that God knows. What he does know is how sinful. You know, I think, you know, take the Arminian who thinks he can look down the corridor that God is actually responding to man's choice. What a reversal of what the Scripture teaches here. What would God see? Well, God would see sinful man. That's what he would see. There is nothing in us knew the sinful condition of men. And yet, he chose us in Christ. Number three, election is just. Men say that's not fair. That's not fair that God would choose some and wouldn't choose others. Well, verse 14 of Romans 9 says, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? See, they were saying, that sounds like God is unjust. Certainly not, it says. Can never be. God is always just. And he describes it this way. I will have mercy on whomever I have mercy. What he's saying is, that is the clearest assertion of God's sovereign right. I, that is God, will have mercy on whomever I have mercy. It's God's choice. Verse 19, excuse me, get verse 19 of chapter 9. You will say to me then, why does he still find fault? For who resists his will? But indeed, O man, who are you? Who are you to reply against God? Who do you think you are? You ever said that to anybody? They want a maybe an intellectual answer, like, what do you think you are? God does what he pleases. God has mercy on whomever he has mercy. Will the thing formed say to the one who formed it, why have you made me like this? You see how ridiculous that would be. Can you imagine? That's the clay in the potter. Can you imagine? He's working on the clay, and the clay says, you know, I'm not sure I like the way you made me. It's ridiculous. Who do you think you are? God is the creator. He can make from the same lump of clay, he can make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor. He's asserting God's sovereign right. Can do as he pleases. God is just. But four, election is merciful. Election is just, but election is merciful. Verse 15, for he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whomever I have mercy. I will have compassion on whomever I have compassion. He does have mercy. He does have compassion. That God chooses any is a great mercy. The reality is because of our fallen Adam, because of our depraved nature, our guilt and our corruption, we all deserve death and judgment. That's part of the problem, isn't it? We talked about in Sunday school. Men don't, they think they deserve something. What do they deserve? All we deserve apart from Christ is judgment. All of us. And if we get punished, that is just. That is what we deserve. But God has mercy. Election is a demonstration of his mercy. Way beyond what they deserve. Number five, election demonstrates his glory. Verse 9:22. What if God, wanting to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction, that he might make known the riches of his glory on vessels of mercy, which he had prepared beforehand for glory, even us, whom he called not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. He is called from the Jews, and he's called from the Gentiles, and he has chosen to have mercy on them. He has chosen to reveal his Son, Jesus Christ, to us. And he's showing his glory. He's showing his glory. In fact, he shows his glory in punishing the wicked. He shows his glory in his wrath, but he really likes to show his glory in mercy and grace. And I would venture to say that I think Scripture teaches that his glory is more displayed in his mercy and grace and in the gospel than anywhere else. Excuse me. Ephesians 1:6 says, when he's talking about this great salvation, it says, to the praise of the glory of his grace. Ephesians 1:12 says, to the praise of his glory. Talking about the salvation. Ephesians 1:14, to the praise of His glory. And here in Romans 9, it demonstrates His first mercy. We're called vessels of mercy. Isn't that incredible? What a great statement. Vessels of mercy. And he's picking up on the pottery terminology again here. And he's not just really, probably not just saying that you are an object of His mercy in Christ. You are. But you're a vessel of His mercy. You are like a pot that shows forth His mercy. And that He has saved you and how He has delivered you from your sin. You're just a vessel that carries that truth, and you display the glory of God, you see. Election is sovereign. Election is unconditional. Election is just. Election is merciful. The merciful plan of God to glorify Himself. And let me close by saying this very comforting thing. Election is God's saving choice. Election is to the fullest salvation. This election that we're talking about is to eternal salvation. Verse 23, that He might make known the riches of His glory on vessels of mercy, which He had prepared beforehand for glory. Listen, God's election is a saving choice unto eternal glory. That's glorification. That is eternal salvation. That is heaven. That is the new heavens. That's the new earth. That is the consummation of all things. That is the fullest salvation, you see. That's not temporal salvation. That's not temporal election. That's eternal election. Vessels of mercy prepared beforehand for glory. His plan cannot fail. What a beautiful description. Glory is the description of the final home of the Christian with God. Glorification. Glorification. Final salvation. A salvation, or put it another way, it's a salvation that can't be lost. It says in Romans 9:11 again, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand. It's not going to fail. It's not going to fall. Literally means it's going to remain. Election remains. Its purpose is eternal election. Just indulge me just a second. Romans 8:28, you know that. The context here, the fuller context. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. You see, His plan. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's going to happen. That will happen. That's not a maybe. That's not just potential. That He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called, excuse me, whom He called, these He also justified. Whom He justified, these He also glorified. Past tense, as if it were done. Because in the purpose of God, in the decree of God, it is. It can't fail. You've been purposed for glory. You've been predestined for glory. Romans 9:23, you're prepared for glory. You who believe in Jesus Christ, that was His plan from all eternity to save you. He chose you. He made you like a potter makes a vessel. To be a vessel to proclaim His saving mercy. In yourself, you're empty, worthless, unworthy. In yourself, you have nothing. In Adam, you're guilty. In Adam, you have a sinful nature, a corrupt nature, a polluted nature. But God has purposed to have mercy on you. God has chosen you and He crafted you and He formed you into a precious vessel to fill with the riches of His mercy and grace. You have been destined for glory. That's eternal salvation. Now, how can I know if I'm the elect? Right? That's the big question for every individual. How can I know I'm the elect? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and follow Him. Right? Follow Him through Scripture. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn away from yourself and follow Him. Let's pray. Father, even though this was just a brief glance at the doctrine of election, we are in great awe and wonder. We are deeply humbled. You did not choose us because we deserve it. In fact, we were undeserving. You did not choose us because we wanted it. We didn't exist. We didn't do any works. And Lord, if you could see the works, you would see, as you did, that we were completely fallen, completely sinful. Our minds, too, were corrupted. We did not want you. We were at enmity with you. Oh, so Father, we praise you so much because you have done it and not we ourselves. You deserve all the glory. You deserve all the praise. And Father, let us take the gospel message to the world, because out there are some you have chosen who have not yet heard the gospel. And when they hear the gospel, when they hear the call, if it's your timing, if it's your perfect timing, they will hear. And they'll believe. We thank you for our eternal salvation because it depends upon you. Oh, how we rest in that. It doesn't depend on us. It depends on our Lord Jesus Christ, and you are satisfied in Him. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.